You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Last Friday, I began a show on jobs and the fact that probably the most important priority of the next president, I've given up on this president in terms of jobs, is that we're competing, the United States and its people are competing globally. And that means our workers have to compete with the workers around the world. It's a global market. A lot of people are in denial about that. Yet, if you go to any store, such as a Walmart, what do you see on a lot of the merchandise? It's made in China, but it's also made in a lot of other countries, including clothing. A lot of the goods and services that in the past were produced in the United States no longer are. There are a lot of people that are fanning the flames of protectionism, and that includes Trump to a certain extent. But it's denying reality, and the reality is you in today's economic environment, you must compete, and your workers need to be productive. And they're only productive if we have capital investment, and before you can have that, you need business formation. And that's what's lacking today. And the problem is not with the private sector. The problem is the environment that the government creates on the federal level, but also state and city. The book I was by Jim Clifton that I mentioned emphasizes that the top 100 cities are where the jobs are going to be created. Some of those cities are very good in terms of creating jobs. I'm sitting in Dallas, which is usually one of the better cities to be in terms of job formation. There are other cities, unfortunately, that are not. One example of this is Baltimore, Maryland. And the problem there is it's been run by the Democratic Party for years. It has a large black population. And the result is why many blacks work and live and prosper in Baltimore, many do not. And you have high crime rates, high drug rates. And many of the people that engage in these activities wouldn't if they had good jobs. That's why I keep getting back to the point, job creation should be priority number one. And I'm not saying any job. I'm saying a good-paying job for every American citizen that wants to work should be able to work and find a good-paying job. That does not mean the government mandates minimum wage laws that actually have the opposite effect by destroying jobs for primarily teenagers, blacks and Hispanics specifically. You see, good intentions are not enough. Results count. And when you politicize this with little effort in analyzing the consequences of your policies, you get what you have in Baltimore. High crime, high drugs, and I would say a failing city. Not an environment that encourages job formation. I don't know that many businesses that are clamoring to move to Baltimore. If anything, they're leaving. And that has been the trend, where you have failed cities measured by high crime rate, high drug use rate, people flee, and also high taxes. It's a spiral downwards. Because as businesses leave, as good-paying jobs leave, the tax base erodes. And then what happens? They increase taxes, and then more and more people and businesses leave. That's the problem in Illinois today, and yes, that's the problem in California. California used to be a terrific state to do business in. Not anymore. because it's been politicized. Good intentions are not enough. Now, I'm bringing this up and trying to make the connection here to jobs and crime because today we heard from a judge that rendered his verdict in the trial of one of six police officers that were arrested after Freddie Gray, who was arrested, put in a van, subsequently died. The police officers were charged. At the time, not only me, but other people were saying these charges were, to put it bluntly, ridiculous. They overcharged. They dramatically overcharged these defendants. And today, the judge rendered his verdict that the prosecution does not have the evidence to justify, to prove beyond a reasonable doubt, that these officers are guilty of what I would say is not a crime, but a mistake. You see, in many jobs, people make mistakes all the time. I make mistakes. I made a mistake today, and I'm trying to correct it right now. You're human beings, you make mistakes. But if you're a police officer and make mistakes, more and more, you risk prosecution, many times politically motivated prosecution. By ambitious attorneys and prosecutors, many of them are activists, and that was the situation here. When you overcharge someone, it might make for good public relations, but you got to prove your case. In this case, the state did not, or the city attorney did not. If you're new to the show, the way you listen to The Pronk Show is go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's my companion blog for this show. I'm pointing this out because I've provided a lot of additional information for this show, which I do all the time. I provide you my show notes, prep, if you will, and let you make up your mind. I have both an article and an image that shows the chargers that were leveled against the six officers. Three were white, three were black. The most serious charges were against Officer Goodson. What did he do? He drove the van. What happened was Freddie Gray was arrested, put in a van. I won't say healthy. No one really knows his state. But when he arrived, he broke, his spinal cord was broken, about 80% severed. He subsequently went into a coma and died, never woke up. Now what happened? He broke his spinal cord in that van. You got to prove that Officer Goodson is responsible for this. He was charged with second-degree depraved heart murder. Yes, second-degree depraved heart murders. What's the penalty? 30 years. Also, involuntary manslaughter, 10 years. Second-degree assault, 10 years. Manslaughter by vehicle, gross negligence, 10 years. Manslaughter by vehicle, criminal negligence, 3 years. Misconduct in office, reckless endangerment, 5 years. This is a prosecutor piling it on. Well, you can do that, but you got to prove it. Now, the arresting officer, and that is the officer that was found not guilty today, is not Goodson. It's Edward Nero, not guilty of all charges. So you can see, and he was charged with second-degree assault, 10 years, two counts of misconduct in office, reckless endangerment, 5 years. What did they do? They arrested him, put handcuffs in him, and put him in the van. And for that, they faced prison? Give me a break, counselor. You didn't have a case. You should never file these charges. Oh, you can get an indictment. Anybody can get an indictment. But this officer had his day in court, and the judge saw through it on the fact that you didn't have the evidence. We're still waiting for the other officers to go to trial. One was already, and I don't want to get in the weeds into the where all the cases stand. Several of them will be brought. For example, Officer Goodson goes on trial June 6th. Lieutenant Rice, and that's in a couple of weeks, a little over a week from now. Lieutenant Rice, July 5th. Officer Miller, the 27th. Officer Porter gets a retrial. He was tried, but it was a mistrial, so he's getting retried. And then Sergeant White on October 13th. They're trying to get Officer Porter to testify against the other officers. That is going up the chain, and it might end up in the Supreme Court. Who knows? Because he has a right, even though he's an officer, not to incriminate himself. This is a tragedy. No one likes to see a young person, 25 years old, die of an accident. And I think that's exactly what we have here, an accident. A mistake and an accident. But both sides don't want to admit that. Now, what's ironic about this, there was a documentary. And I'm tempted to play the documentary, but it's way, way, way too long. But I listened to it, and what I'm taught, CNN put out a, I thought, a very good summary of what went on. And what was interesting, Freddie Gray had a history of selling drugs, using and selling drugs, distribution of narcotics. Now, if you listen to past shows, you know that my position is very simple. It's up to each state to decide whether or not they should decriminalize the use of drugs. I'm all for it for the simple reason the war on drugs is an absolute complete failure. It's cost over $1 trillion, and it's costing us today because many of these people have to be incarcerated for many years. I think drug use should be a medical problem, not a crime problem. We've made it a crime problem for many reasons. For some, it's good politics. For others, it means increased police budgets. But it's failed. It has failed. Yeah, crime is down, but drug use is up. And I've said on a past show, people will always seek out pleasure or relief from pain, and they do it. Some do it by smoking. Some do it by overeating. Some do it by drinking. Some do it by smoking pot. Others do it by using various forms of opiates, morphine, heroin, and then cocaine. And what happens is people get involved with this. I'm looking at this guy's rap sheet. Most of the charges are, I would say, minor, but it's distribution of narcotics. Well, you go to a store, let's say a grocery store that has a pharmacy in it, which I do. Guess what? You have over-the-counter drugs that you don't need a prescription at all. You can buy them. There's some drugs that you need a prescription for, and you can get them from a doctor. They're distributing drugs, just like grocery stores distribute food, where you go to exchange your money for food. You can go to the grocery store and exchange your money for drugs. I woke up this morning, and I sort of had a sneezing spell, if you will, for about, maybe 2 minutes. And that's rare. I do have allergies, but it's hay fever, and I usually get them in the fall, September, October time period before the first frost. I used to have the same problem on the East Coast, New York City, Long Island, and New Jersey, where I was a hay fever sufferer. Come September, October, sometimes even August, my eyes would be itching. I'd be sneezing all the time. And yes, I took prescription drugs, Actifed and Sudafed. At one time, you could get them over the counter. Now you can, but you have to go to the counter and ask for a box. In my case, I use Sudafed. But now, because some people that use the drugs were buying this in bulk from many, many stores, they've clamped down on the use of it. It's a joke, folks. It's an absolute, complete joke. And that's the problem with the politicians responding to this. The people are ahead of them here, but that doesn't do much good. Because what happens when you get a criminal record like Freddie Gray did? It makes it more difficult, some would say impossible, to get a good-paying job. And that's the problem. If we had good-paying jobs, many people like Freddie Gray would never have this rap sheet or long list of arrests. Why? He'd be working, and he wouldn't need to distribute narcotics. Or maybe he'd work in a pharmacy, and that's all right. But if you distribute it on the street, yes, the police officers know you that work the neighborhood, and they're watching you. There's a long list here. Mostly distribution of narcotics, unlawful possession. He was trying to turn his life around, trying to get a job in a city that's really failing. And it's failing because we have what I call government dependency, where a large percentage of the population in Baltimore and some of your major cities depend on welfare. And that goes on for generation and generation. Some people escape or try to escape by using drugs. And then you compound the mistakes by going after the police. Now, I'm fully back investigating what went on. I'm not saying there shouldn't have been an investigation. There definitely should have been an investigation. But you shouldn't try it on the media. You shouldn't try to score political points, and that's what this activist, I'm calling her prosecutor. She was the Baltimore City State Attorney, Marilyn J. Mosby. I remember doing a show on this. She had made up her mind the cops were guilty, and she threw the book at them. And now it's turning out that justice is happening, and the book is being thrown right back at her. Frankly, I think she should be fired for incompetence. But that's the danger when you elect or appoint someone that has an agenda, and she does. What are we going to do about all this? Unfortunately, the answer is very little. The police officers' lives have been, let us say, disrupted. What how would you feel if you were facing 10, 20, 30 years in prison for doing your job, and you did your job? And objectively, you did your job the way it should be done. Remember, even after all these officers, and I think eventually most, if not all of them, are going to be found not guilty. The evidence is not there, and that's the problem. Now, yes, you got to look at the evidence and decide, but you can't prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. The problem here is intention. Did the police officers intend to do bodily harm to Freddie Gray? I don't think so. They intended to arrest him, and that's why they called this police van to pick him up and transport him to jail. Ultimately, there was miscommunication in terms of he requested medical aid. He finally got it and then was sent. They found him. He was in cardiac arrest, sent to the hospital where he died. No one is going to bring back Freddie Gray. And I believe all these police officers are asking themselves, what did I do wrong? I was doing my job. Freddie Gray had a reputation. He was known to the police as a distributor of narcotics. He ran from the police, then stopped. Not a good idea to run from the police. It's not illegal to run from the police, but unless you're out jogging, and he wasn't, because he was talking with someone else, and they both ran in different directions, that is suspicious behavior. It's not very smart behavior either, because what's going through the cop's mind is he has drugs on him. He's running to throw away the drugs, and that's usually what happens. They run, and in the process of running, dump the drugs. I don't think the state Baltimore state attorney is going to prevail in these cases. I think this is the first of several where all the officers are going to be found not guilty. Yeah, mistakes were made, but a mistake is not a crime because you got to prove intent. And from my casual, and I emphasize casual review of this, that's what's lacking here. It doesn't matter what you think or I think or, frankly, what this state attorney is. What you can prove in court. And the state has the burden to prove it, and they can't. And that's the problem. And it all gets back to what could have avoided all this if every citizen in Baltimore that wanted a job could find a job, a good-paying job. That's the core problem. That's the challenge. And second, stop criminalizing behavior. That's really a medical problem. Oh, yes, Freddie Gray was involved in the distribution of narcotics. There's just too many arrests as well as possession of narcotics. He was involved in it, but that happens every day across the United States. And if you get caught, convicted, sentenced, either to jail or prison, your chances of getting a job after that are not impossible, but it's a big barrier when you're competing with people that do have experience and still can't find a job. You see, ideas have consequences. A good example of that is the minimum wage. We have presidential candidates that want to increase it to $15 an hour. Sounds really nice. But who gets hurt? People like Freddie Gray. Do you think Freddie Gray was going to be hired? I don't think so. I wouldn't have hired him for the simple reason I probably have 100 or more applications from dropouts as well as graduates of high school and colleges looking for a job. Freddie Gray's resume, assuming he even had one, would go in the trash. But when you raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour, what happens? To an employer, if you're looking for your first-time job, you're simply not worth $15 an hour, and he's not going to hire you. And he will fire many of the people that are working for him now that he can't afford at the current prevailing wage. The people that are hurt by rises in the minimum wage are primarily young people, teenagers, and people in their 20s. Because they never get the first job that leads to the second and third job. They don't get on that career ladder at all. Good intentions are not enough. And that's what you get when you have people saying they need a living wage. The living wage was zero for a large percentage of the people in Baltimore and some of the cities across this nation. Because they're never going to get a job. They're never going to get a job offer. And that means, what's your wage? It's zero. It's not $5. It's not $4. It's certainly not the minimum wage of $7. What is it, $7.35? I've lost track. That first job's important because it instills work ethic. You got to show up for the job on time, dress accordingly, and you got to work hard just to keep the job. And if you're reliable, what happens? Businesses will promote you as well as give you increases in your hourly wage. And that makes you more employable at other businesses. In other words, it makes you more competitive. You have some skills. You have some job experiences. Skills that you need that you will expand upon and develop as you have different types of jobs. But it all starts with that first job. And it's very difficult to get that first job if you're a teenager, especially a black or Hispanic, living in a high unemployment area to begin with. Compound that with a criminal record, it almost makes it impossible. So you continue on distributing narcotics to make some money and maybe even use the narcotics to dull the pain. And that means you're going to get arrested. And unfortunately for Freddie Gray, he lost his life in the back of a van when he was injured. Do I think it was intentional? I do not think it was intentional. But that's my opinion. The evidence will be brought out in court, and a judge or a jury will decide, should these officers, are they beyond a reasonable doubt guilty of any of these charges? What's happening now? Yep, the thugs in Baltimore are shouting and yelling. They want justice. No, I think what they really want is a job. Because if you ask the people of the United States, as well as around the world, what's their number one concern? What do they want more than anything else? It's a job. And where that job cannot be found, inevitably it leads to crime, people stealing, people assaulting people, robbing people. It leads to drugs and getting involved in drugs to make money. It leads to prostitution. It leads to gambling. And before you know it, what was once a very good neighborhood is abandoned as law-abiding people flee what has now become a high-crime area. And that's exactly where Freddie Gray was arrested. And that's where the police assigned officers to patrol. I know a little bit about that because I live in a neighborhood, I wouldn't say it's high crime, but it's not low crime. It's heavily patrolled. Most of the people there are living in apartments and are not involved in crime at all. The problem is you have a small percentage of the population that are, and that results in a heavy police presence. I don't like it, but the police know where the crimes are occurring, and they focus their resources on those parts of the city where they're having problems. I remember I was doing shopping just a couple of days ago, and I had to get some milk and some tuna fish. And as I was putting it in the car, I noticed across the street in a parking lot in a strip mall, I think a total of 6 police cars. Now, they were getting ready to make an arrest, probably going into one of the apartment complexes, because I've seen that happen before. This is where they start out, and then they go to the apartment or area that they're trying to arrest someone. I've also seen it in my own apartment complex, not recently, but it has happened, where on 2 separate occasions, one in broad daylight in the afternoon, the other early morning, a whole host of, I lost count. That squad that breaks into apartments. Usually it's drugs that they're after. They have an informant and they're trying to do a search or arrest of someone in the apartment. Sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not. The problem is drugs are spreading across this country. It's getting worse. The answer is not more and more police, more and more arrests, more and more people in jail and prison. That simply has failed. And it costs you and me money to house people in prison. And once they get out, it's almost impossible for them to get jobs. Who would hire them? That's the problem. There are some employers that will, but most won't. And even if it's petty crimes, now some will say distribution of narcotics is not petty. Well, understand, this is not a drug cartel kingpin. This is at the bottom of the chain. The person that's selling it to his friends and neighbors in the community to make some money. I don't condone it. I certainly don't recommend it. But people are addicted to a lot of substances. Usually it starts out smoking, drinking, pot, and now heroin. We have an epidemic in this country. Cocaine, crack. See, the people that make the big bucks, they like the fact that the drugs are illegal. And they have their supporters in both political parties. I'm hard on the criminals selling the drugs. You see, I'm more concerned about the innocent people whose lives are destroyed. People that are robbed or killed, as well as the police officers involved in this, doing their job, and now face trial for making, at best, a mistake. And I think for most of these officers, it wasn't a mistake. They were following procedures. You know, one of the parts of the charge was this officer that just was found not guilty did not buckle the person into the seat. That assumes he was trained to do that, and they had procedures. Which the judge ruled that he wasn't trained. So getting back to linking the two shows, we have to have economic policies that result in very, very low unemployment rates and very, very high participation rates of people so they can find jobs, because that's the number one concern issue with people. If you can address that with the correct economic policies, many, many, many of society's problems go away. Not all of them. There's no silver bullet here. That's why I focus on the fact, what is out of kilt? Why are the economic policies being followed don't work? One, high tax rates. Two, a lot of regulation. An economy that's not growing. Not enough businesses are being formed by entrepreneurs. Not enough investment. Investment is required to make workers more productive. You want high productivity because you're competing worldwide. And to the extent that you have economic policies that result in low unemployment, high labor participation rate, what happens? You don't have widespread crime problems. You're always going to have some. And you don't have people addicted to substances that what they're really trying to do is escape the pain that they're in. But we'll always have political activists, politicians, Democratic Party and Republican Party, that will use drugs and the police as an issue and be on either side of the issue. Self-righteous people that fail to see the big picture, the more important picture. But they're very hard line. They'll go after the cops. And I'm the first one to say, there are some bad cops. And you need to make sure you get rid of those bad cops. But life is not perfect. Life is not fair. And you'll get some well-intentioned but self-righteous people that blame it on the police officers. When really, it's your elected or representatives that have not given you the economic policies you need so everyone in society can get a job. And when they get a job, they don't fear that if they make a mistake doing it when you're a police officer, they go to jail for 10, 15, or 30 years. With that, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. And KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.